Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 7 in our teaching on the Book of Philippians titled Suffering as a Christian. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
We have a very interesting study today, one that's not spoken on much and not taught much and not preached much. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started as others keep coming in. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for today. And dear God, we do thank you for the opportunity to be with your people, to be inside of a facility that's warm, keeps us out of the rain. And Lord, we're not having to walk miles and under a thatched roof and with mud and all kinds of things to come against us just to study your word, a portion of your word. We've got great facilities. We all carry Bibles. We've all got everything we need. So, Lord, we pray right now for those that don't have the opportunity that we have. And we ask and pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit would be with them, that they can make their treks into their places of worship and a Bible study. Dear God, we do pray for them that they all could have the Word of God. So, Lord God, we do not take lightly our opportunity. And so, Lord, we come in here to study your Word. We appreciate the opportunity that we have. And, Lord, we don't want to squander it. We want to appreciate it. And so, Lord Jesus, be with us. Give us the same Holy Spirit that you'd give those in little tribes in Africa, those that walk for 10 miles for weeks. Lord, I know that you give and dispense unto them your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, even though we've got it all, we're still asking for the same presence, the same Holy Spirit, and the same appreciation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That was for something. I'm not sure what, but thank you, Lord. All right, you have your notes on the table at the back of last week, and also the previous week's notes are there. And if you've missed any teaching lessons on CDs, are available also in the back. And if you're watching on the webcast, or if you you can also call here at the church, and we can get those for you. And we want you to please sign in each week, if you would, just so that we have that for our records. We do keep up with this in the church, so we kind of know how many people are participating. It kind of helps us manage things, how many books we'll get, perhaps even for the next teaching and things like this. So your sign-up is very, very important to us. Okay, we're going to get started real quickly if you got your workbooks. I'm sure everyone enjoyed this week's study, Suffering as a Christian. It's a subject and it's a topic that we all want to run away from and try to escape. And, you know, we all have this hidden thing in the back corners of our mind that says that we'll come to Jesus and everything will be smooth sailing. And I've talked to a lot of Christians in my life. Matter of fact, I am one. And it's almost like you come to Jesus and the suffering begins. I'm not really sure why all of that is, but I'm a little bit curious that when we come to Christ, our eyes are opened a lot to things that we're seeing. And the more you see, we're living in a fallen world, which can be very depressing. So we're seeing more now than we've ever seen. You can see there's more suffering than we once thought there were, that there was. And so as we're seeing more suffering, as we're experiencing more suffering, a lot of times it's because we're seeing clearer. We can see clearer what's in front of us. It's very important as we see the suffering, as we experience the suffering, your own personal experience of suffering, as you learn in this week's lesson, can come from you seeing suffering in others because it stirs up the compassion, the anxiety, it's just total compassion for others. We like to see people win as Christians, right? We want to see winners. And we enjoy the victory. We enjoy seeing winners. But to have the joy of seeing a winner, we have to have the sadness of seeing the loser. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit gives us opportunity for us to see the suffering of others as we lose. But also God's calling us to have the hope that brings the suffering into healing and into victory. So that's what this week's study is about. Not talked about too much in Christian circles, but let's move on right quick with our homework and we'll get on into the teaching. What place does suffering have in the life of a Christian? was your one of your questions in your workbook. And I pulled up Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to do what? To do what? Suffer for his sake. Now, as Christians, we fully embrace that Jesus suffered and died on the cross, right? We fully embrace that. We fully embrace that when we became Christians, that we received Christ into our hearts, into our lives. We totally receive that. And we think it's a great idea. The part that we perhaps haven't fully budgeted for is Christ is not here on the earth today except through you and I, because Christ is in us. But Christ suffer yet every day for mankind. So we find that Christ is still suffering. How does he suffer? Christ in you, the hope of glory. We actually feel the sufferings of Christ. That's what the verse is talking about. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. It's the sufferings of Christ. And you'll see that through this scripture, that Christ is still suffering today through you. It's a wonderful place to say glory, hallelujah. Yeah, coming a little slow. Moving a little slow on this one. Okay. Paul tells us that suffering is a gift. You're like, oh my. Now listen, let's hang with God here on this one, okay? From beginning to end. It says it's a gift. Now, for something to be so painful and to feel so not what I want to feel, could this thing equal something great? The answer is yes. Paul tells us that suffering is a gift that comes with salvation. According to this verse, for whose sake do we suffer? For whose sake? For Christ's sake. We are here on the earth to do the work of Christ. To do the work of Christ, we need to feel like Christ. To feel like Christ, Christ is in us, so then we will feel the suffering of others. Now, I skipped on right over suffering because you're standing for the word. I got right on into the sufferings of Christ for his sake. Now, it's important as Christians that we get that one. All right? Can everybody say, Alan, I get it. It's important as Christians that we get it. Because being a Christian, say this with me, being a Christian is not fair. It's redemptive. It's glorious. And I'll live with him forever. Okay. Amen. According to Philippians 1, did Paul suffer? For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. Remember, we went over that 2 weeks ago. Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of what? Grace with me. Now, you got to understand, when God gives us scripture, when the Holy Spirit pens scripture, it's dimensional. This is even like a parable. Paul's imprisonment is like a parable. It really happened to him, but it's a word picture. It's a scenario of Paul being in prison. Scriptures are dimensional. They have a linear meaning, but they're dimensional. Linear, he's imprisonment. It's like a parable. You go into it, you're seeing Paul's imprisonment. We all have our own imprisonments. Now, there's two types of imprisonments in Philippians. It's an external linear imprisonment of Paul being in prison. It's my own imprisonments unto sin or my shortcomings, whatever. We all have our own imprisonments. We're imprisoned to something. And then the big one that Paul gets into is to see the imprisonment of others. That's when you get into suffering for others. So you got the three dimensions. You can suffer because you raise the Bible in the United States and somebody throws you in jail. You can suffer an imprisonment because of your depravity, because of what you're not, and you can see what you're not. But the big one, the third dimension is when you suffer for others. Now that's the big one. You've got those three dimensions. It's all spoken about here in the book of Philippians. And you can feel all three of them. Now, let's move on. Now, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known. One dimension here that we see when Paul speaks about his imprisonment, there's something about his imprisonment. Why do you, political things, when somebody stands for something, Nelson Mandela, he had a cause he stood for. Why did they not kill him? Because it would make him a martyr. So there's a powerful spiritual thing here. When we are imprisoned, when we're imprisoned for a cause, when you're mistreated and you're innocent, there's a spiritual proclamation made when you keep standing. Are you with me? Did you catch what I said? According to chapter 2, who else suffered? How and why? But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. But I thought it necessary to send to you who? Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. You can mark down those two verses for the answer to that question in your homework. Let's do some cross-referencing. What else do we learn about suffering? This was also in your homework. Now let's look at this. What else do we learn about suffering? Philippians 3:10. That I may know him and the power of his what? Now can somebody tell me real quickly, what does power of resurrection mean to you? Life from death. There's a life that can come from death that no other life you can experience. You can have life of the flesh, life of the soul, but life after resurrection is the big one. Well, you got to die to something before you can be resurrected to it. None of us die well. And it hurts. It's painful. But there's life on the other side of it. 1 Thessalonians 3:4. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction, and so it came to pass, and you know it. What else do we learn about sufferings in Romans 8? The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we do what? If we suffer with him, why is that scripture in there? Indeed, if we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with. Can you see that one of the huge spiritual keys to get us into the spiritual world is through suffering? Why did Jesus have to do the ultimate in suffering and die for us? Why? It's the big door. It's the big one. It's the big one that we suffer and that we die. Listen, to be able to see clearer because the Holy Spirit is in me, to be able to see the suffering of others very clearly. And that can only happen after salvation and the Holy Spirit of God's within us. Then we can start seeing things clearly. To see things clearly and to stop right there, you're better off to never have begun the trip. You're better off just to stay lost than to get the eyes to see without the faith of the hope to overcome. If you have eyes to see, and I love that little movie, The Owls of Gahool, and that one little owl says, what did they say? And they said, I think we're halfway there. When you see the suffering of others, you're halfway there. You're halfway there. Now listen to me, saints. It is imperative that when we're halfway there to see without having the hope and the faith to change the hopelessness of what we're seeing, it will equal anxiety in your life. It'll equal self-destruction. You can say, well, Alan, that doesn't sound very nice to me. Listen, y'all, we are not in a friendly world. This thing is real. It is real. This is not a video game. You can't hit pause. I promise you 100 years from now, and we're in glory, we're going to say, gosh, I didn't know it was that real. This thing's real. As real as it can be. If you ask the Lord to give you eyes to see, be careful, lest you see more than you want to see. Don't ask for eyes to see, lest you ask for faith to believe that God is greater in you than he that is in the world. What else do we learn about suffering? 1 Peter, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your... Can we mark that one out perhaps? As though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ... Are you with me? What am I to do as I am experiencing these sufferings of Christ? You know, rejoice. I mean, that's almost like, come on, that makes me mad. What do you mean, God, rejoice? How can I rejoice? It's because I rejoice because I am full of the hope and the faith that God's going to overcome the suffering that I see. That's the rejoicing. If I don't have the rejoicing is the sign to me that my hope is healthy. I've been in more mental hospitals with seeing people than most people been to Sunday school. And the problem is, it's the lack of hope. Listen, you will always accumulate more evidence that it's hopeless. It's always there. The accumulation of evidence does not equal a spiritual truth. A spiritual truth is, I've got hope and faith in God to overcome all the evidence that I see. Matter of fact, faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things. How can I get to this level of high faith? God, give me more faith. He will give you more suffering to see and to endure, that faith might be authentic. Not head faith, but authentic faith. That you had to die for and you had to suffer for. And when you hang on to that faith, you'll be resurrected in power because of the victory. And you will be so convinced the victory could be performed by none other than Jesus Christ himself. You try to tell a person like that Jesus isn't real. Tell him it's not real with that experience of suffering. He goes on to say, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice. With what? I think that's huge, isn't it? Doesn't that mean big rejoicing? Do you see it? It's a key. It's a door. It opens up the spiritual world. And he says there to keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of his glory. The suffering that you're seeing, how we participate, is God says, you supply the faith and I'll supply the glory. Listen, y'all, if it's not like that, we're not going to make it. He says, you supply the faith and the hope. You see, when you supply the faith and the hope that I'm talking about, it will offend your intelligence. Because your intelligence says, I have accumulated enough information that this is not so. So I have to deny my evidence. God says, if you'll do this, that he will bring you into a place of revelation of his glory. Then he says you'll rejoice and you'll just go plumb crazy rejoicing. Because you'll know that God moved. Listen, when you know that God moves like that, you know heaven's real. You know God's real. You know everything you believe is real. You're not having to hang on because you got a knowing. That's the experience of Christ that we're looking for here. I'm not looking for you to fall down or do anything. I'm looking for you to experience his glory, the revelation of his glory. It can only come when there's a need for the glory. The greater the need, he says, but the greater the degree that you share in the sufferings. What's the sufferings? You're seeing the world like Christ sees. The greater degree that you see that, the greater degree of hope and faith that must be exercised. Is your faith in your accumulation of information, or is your faith in trusting Christ to bend the natural world in reality to give a favorable outcome? That's where we're at. Let me move on quickly. Paul wrote that we were to believe and suffer for Jesus Christ. If you are God's child suffering in one form, if you are God's child, you are suffering in one form or the other. Suffering will come to you in one form or the other. Boy, I can kind of word that one right. Don't shy away from it. We are to embrace it head on. Embrace it. Listen, when suffering bites you in the hinder parts, you're going the wrong direction. I can tell if you've got a few bite marks in here. Okay. Reasons for suffering. Romans 8:15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Okay, get the connection, spirit of slavery. Get the connection, slavery and fear. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, we are all born with fear and slavery. But God reached down and said, I'm going to adopt that one. He grabbed you out of it and he adopted you and he pulled you out of that. And we're to cry out something. What is it? Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies that with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you see that? We are the children of God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. If you are feeling the suffering of others, it is a testimony to you that you're a son and a daughter of Christ. If you ever wondered about your salvation, you don't need to wonder anymore. You see, Jesus died for others. Reasons for suffering. It's a gift of sharing in Christ's sufferings. In Philippians 3:10, it says this. We're not to chapter 3 yet, but stuck it in there anyway. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his. I mean, listen, I'm teaching you something this morning that just tears me in half also. But I'm committed to tell the truth. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. How do you get power? We pray, God, send the power of your resurrection. We want it. How do you get the power of the resurrection? Through suffering. How do you do the suffering? Well, you got your own stuff you need to get rid of, but you also suffer because you see the condition of others. You got to get the connection. When you feel the suffering of others, it's the opportunity for the power of the resurrection. Because you can't do anything about it but see it. You can't do a thing about it but see it. The only one you can do anything about is you. But you're seeing the suffering of others. God, I can't help them. Well, you love them and you have faith for them. And say, God, I'm having faith and hope that you can encounter this suffering. It's called the fellowship of his sufferings. Being conformed unto his death. What do we do? Somebody has to die for somebody else to live. Now, that's just the way it is. I'm sorry. I can't make it better than that. Oh, good news. I can't make it better than that. Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Oh my gosh. I thought Jesus' afflictions and sufferings were done at the cross. Oh no. Here Paul is out here and he's saying that he's having to help fill up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Say, Alan, I get it, but I don't want to. Do you get it? Christ's sufferings are being experienced every day because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Reasons for suffering. Look at it here. Aren't y'all glad this is just one teaching? I'm going to give it all to you and we'll get on to something else next week. Suffering for Christ's sake. This is the reasons for suffering. Granted by God to all believers. A sign of salvation is what we just learned. Perseverance, proven character, and hope. What's the results of it? Why go through this? Because it brings what? Perseverance in us. It proves our character. And it'll exercise more hope. The only way that you are given more hope, which is faith, is issued by God. The only way you get an issue of more faith and hope by God is on an as-a-needs basis. So God has given you more faith and hope because you now find yourself in a situation that you need more. You say, God, I need more. He says, yeah, I believe you do. I'm going to give you some. See, the need's got to be there before the hope's established. The people that have the greatest faith are the people that's been in the worst situations. You can say, why? Because they needed more. And just be thankful if somebody else has got more than you. Did you get it? Now, another reason for suffering for Christ's sake. The world hates believers, and they hated Jesus. They'll hate us for it. They'll say you're stupid. But it's a proof of faith, which we are to rejoice. Suffering for Christ's sake, we're being conformed into his image. Let me ask you something. Did Christ suffer? Yes. If we're being conformed into his image, will we suffer? Yes. Is there more to suffering than just feeling bad? Yes. Can we rejoice in the sufferings of Christ? Yes. Why? Because we know he's got the last word. You see. See, somebody's got to stand on the earth and somebody in heaven, and we're holding the hand on the earth down here, and we're holding the hand of Jesus up here, and it makes a connection. We are joint heirs in his sufferings, but we're also joint heirs in the healing and of the redemption and of the victory. Amen? And the problem is we get too many sufferings on our plates and not enough victories because we quit exercising enough hope to get some victories into some sufferings so we can get on with it. We get hung with 10 or 20 sufferings on our plate and we can't handle about two or three. I don't know how the math works on that one. Now, we also see that the results is Christ-likeness. He left us an example in suffering for Christ. And why? What does the results? It glorifies God. How many want to glorify God? Did you realize you can glorify God the most through suffering for him? That's not going to work good to name and claim it, but that's the Bible. Now, suffering proves the faith of the believer. Let me move quite right quickly here. 1 Peter 1:6-7. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Anybody got a few distressing by some various trials? If you're running short, I got a few extra ones. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable. Now listen, who is the proof of your faith for? Is it for God? No, it's for you. That's who it's for. So that the proof of your faith be more precious than gold. Here we see that faith is more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's the revelation of Jesus Christ in the context of that scripture? The revelation of Jesus Christ is that he showed up. He showed up in the fiery trial. When I say fiery trial, what comes to your remembrance right quickly, an Old Testament story? Fiery furnace. Where was Jesus? We say, more, Lord. Oh, my gosh. Send the fire. Oh, my gosh. What are we talking about? Send the fire. The greater the fire, the greater the revelation. Send the fire. The way I read my dictionary, fire burns every time. Send the fire. Send the fire. The fire comes. It has a purpose. If you're in a fire right now, you're looking for Jesus in the fire. If all you can see is you in the fire, it might be because that's all you're looking at. Jesus is in your midst. It's proof of the faith. Why do we suffer? For endurance. James 1, 2, and 4 says this. Consider it all. Now, don't you like it in all these verses where it starts off with joy? I mean, does that grate you or what? I'm like, I'm not sure the writer understands what he's writing, or it could be the reader doesn't really get it. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. Endurance. The little owl said on the Isles of Gahoo, I think we're halfway there. They just started. I think we're halfway there. Testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its what? Now, there's not too many scriptures where you see that something equals a perfect result. Why does endurance equal a perfect result? It's because the only way you can lose in spiritual warfare is through forfeit. I've told you that. The only way you can lose is you forfeit. And the closer you feel to forfeit, the closer you are to the victory line. The closest that, listen, the most mature an apple is right before it rottens. Right when you feel like you're going to forfeit, you don't realize that you're at the greatest place of maturity. You got to make a choice. You see, to forfeit gets stronger the closer to victory you get. The enemy starts turning up the pressure against your mind, against your spirit. Well, I'm going to hang it up. I'm going to forfeit. I'm going to quit. Yeah, because the enemy knows. He knows what the finish. You're almost there. You're almost there. He turns it up. It's hopeless. Just remember, the greater the hopelessness, the more you say, okay, God, I've got to have some more faith here. I'm wanting to quit. I'm wanting to forfeit. I need a supernatural issue. Give me a voucher. Give me something. I need some more faith here, God. Testing of your faith produces endurance. Jesus said it like this. He that endures to the end shall be. Is he talking about eternal salvation? No. He's saying the trial that you're in. He was actually saying that to Christians that were going to be in the tribulation period. He said, you got to endure now. You got to hang in there. You got to go. Endure to the end, because there's a type of salvation to those who endure to the end. It's a salvation of the situation. Have you getting it? Are you got it? Say, Alan, I love Jesus. Thank you. I need a little something coming towards me here. Okay. Suffering creates character and a hope that is never disappointed. Wow. How does this one work out, God? Let's see what you got to say. And not only this, but we also, what is that word? Oh my gosh. I believe it is. It's supposed to be exalt. In our tribulations. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Our tribulation does what? Brings about perseverance. And perseverance what? Wow. Proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Just say hallelujah right there. Now listen, you've got to get to the hope before you don't feel disappointed. So let's don't get hung just in perseverance. Let's don't get hung there. You got to go. Something's got to prove her character. Are we going to stand, even though it's a bad debt? Then it's going to prove your character. But when you prove your character, what's on the other side of that thing? There's hope, which is what? Which is faith. And guess what? It won't disappoint. If you forfeit, you're going to be disappointed. I promise you, Christians, if you'll endure, you will not be disappointed. If you are this Bible lies, say, Alan, that's pretty bold. I believe we can test it. I don't believe it lies. I believe it's the truth. I think we got a liar speaking to our minds. That God's a liar. Are we going to agree with the enemy and say God's a liar? Or are we going to go with the Word of God and press into hope? Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. It's nothing but a recipe for joy. What's the recipe? All right, we've got to have the tribulation first. That must be the lard. Brings about perseverance must be the flour. And perseverance brings proven character, a couple eggs. And proven character brings about hope. You just whoop it all up in there. And you stick her in the oven. And when it comes out, you won't be disappointed. It's the ingredients of bringing victory to the suffering of others that you are encountering. Suffering testifies to the reality of your faith, 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Now, that is huge. Listen, in the church, we keep doing the right, and we want to say, well, God's here in His power. And that's what we're doing. It's all we know to do. But we're wanting more authentic power to come. We're wanting the power of God that we don't have to say, well, I think this was God. We're talking about the level of the power of God that it needs no explanation. Everybody knows that it's God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be God and not of ourselves. Nobody, there's no doubt about it. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Now I want to read this one more time and I want you to put yourself here. Watch it. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power, that's authentic power of God, will be God, and it's not us. We don't have to worry about a mixture of ourselves. This is pure power of God. That we are afflicted in every way. All right. Are you afflicted is my question. Okay, if you're afflicted, you're not crushed. All right? The devil's going to tell you that you're crushed. You might be feeling perplexed, but the truth is you're not despairing, which means the truth is you really have hope for it. See, the enemy's, the way he comes against you not despairing is he's going to tell you you're perplexed, but you're not, because you're really not despairing. If you're not despairing, you can't be perplexed. Right? Persecuted. Okay, yeah, that's me. I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. The truth is you don't feel like you're forsaken from God. But the devil says you're being persecuted, you're being persecuted, you're being persecuted, you're being persecuted. When the devil tells you you're being wrongfully persecuted, what do you say to him? Well, I might be, but I'm not forsaken. Right? This is the answer to the enemy. I'm not forsaken. The devil's going to tell you you're being struck down, you're being struck down, you're being struck down. What's your response? Maybe, but I'm not destroyed. You speak back. Listen, you got to understand something. In this verse, it will show you the voice of the enemy and your response in the spirit. How many see it? Surpassing greatness of the power of God. We'll be God and not of ourselves. Okay, here we go. Conversation between devil and God. We do contribute in this conversation. We're afflicted. That's me in every way. Yes, God, that's me. Listen, you're feeling more affliction than you're actually getting. Because the devil's telling you you're being afflicted. And you say, through your selfishness, yes, poor little old me. I'm being afflicted. I'm being mistreated. All right, when we feel the affliction coming, what's our response, church? That's okay. I might be, but I'm not crushed. Right? Perplexed? Okay, maybe I am, but I'm what? I'm not despairing. This is what we proclaim. He says, but you're being persecuted, and what do you say? I'm not forsaken. Okay, but you're being struck down. Now you're being slandered and called things and all of that you know you're not. You're being struck down. What's your response? I might be, but I'm not destroyed. Those answers are an answer to a person that's trusting God with their life. That's the answers to that verse. That verse of Scripture, when followed, when believed, when exercised, will set the captive free, and it'll send the powers of darkness back to the pit of hell where they came from. Just exercise that one and tell him to stick it in his ear. I'm tired, it'll work. Suffering will never be more than you can bear. Somebody say, glory, hallelujah. The devil says, I'm going to break you. You're going to have a nervous breakdown. You're going to be destroyed. That's what the devil says. Is that from God? No. No temptation or suffering, same word, has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. Well, what's a good way to endure it? 2 Corinthians 4:7-12. Listen, you've got to understand something. 2 Corinthians 4:7-12. These things are voices. You're struck down. And all these things are voices. You hear them. You feel them. They're voices. Only thing I can tell you, they might be voices. But I promise you by the authority of the Word of God that you can bear it. When you start entertaining the idea that you can't bear it, that's not the voice of God. You can bear it. Not the voice of God. The Lord will never abandon you in the midst of suffering. Hebrews 13:5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I'll do what? Read it with me. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. How many times do you think God needs to say that before it's true? One time will do it. The Lord will never abandon you in the midst of suffering. Timothy, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. How many people felt that one? I'm out here by myself. Everybody's left me. Nobody believes me. Why can't somebody hear me? Paul said, no big deal. He prayed for him. God, everybody's left me. Everybody deserved me. Nobody can hear me. Nobody understands me. What do you do? God, don't count that against him. Come on now. Are you with me? When you get into the pity party of everybody's against me, nobody likes me, I think I'll eat a worm. Right? It's the voice of the enemy. There's not but one way out of it. It's called the love of Christ. Say, God, okay, they don't understand me. I'm a little complicated, you know. But God, I don't require it of them. Please don't count their lack of understanding against them, Lord. Let me pray for them till somebody catches on, maybe. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the... Come on. I think lion's mouth is not a good place to be. You feel like you're in the lion's mouth. How do you get rescued out of the lion's mouth? You pray. What do you pray? That God will not hold against those that can't hear me. Your act of doing that releases you out of the lion's mouth. You say, well, Alan, that doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't me either. See, things of the Spirit don't make sense. They're believed. Let me move on right quickly. Your life cannot be taken in the midst of suffering without God's permission. You'll have that in your notes. He's faithful in suffering. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Now look at it here. Be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful unto death. And death of what? A death of you. Be faithful. Now there's something called the crown of life. I hadn't got time to get into it, but it's big. Trust me, crown of life's bigger than death. It's huge. It's like the lottery and everything all at once. It's huge. It's big. What is my response to suffering? Oh, mercy. You're going to have to read it in your notes. How do I act towards a person causing suffering? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as the Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense for everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and what? How do you handle each other? With gentleness and reverence. And this is the last one, and I'm just 1 second late. What does all of this equal? Number one, God is glorified. Number two, you are purified. Somebody say glory. Number three, and others are. Did you know by your suffering and dying for others that they can be justified? And they won't have to go through as much pain as you are. You say, well, that's not fair. That's how I started this teaching. Be blessed. And let's encounter Christ in this next little bit. Amen.